remain standing tonight as we read our script text together. Again tonight we'll be in Psalm 123. Again tonight, please. And I hope you won't mind, and I know you're going to laugh when I say this, but I hope you don't mind if I talk to you just kind of short tonight. I don't mean me being short toward you. I mean short time-wise. Brother Hall liked to wore himself out this morning, and my wife wouldn't tell you this, but she's not been feeling good this afternoon. I want to get her home, get her some rest. She don't hear me. She's down the hallway, so that makes it that much better. I can tell on her. She's sick. So pray for her, if you would, please. I'd appreciate it. Psalm 123, again tonight in you. Word of God, and we're going to read all four of the verses again tonight. The Bible said, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look upon the hand of their master, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord, our God, the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us." Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease, and with the contempt of the proud. Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. Let's pray together. Ask God's help. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the song service tonight and for the fellowship we've already enjoyed with your people. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to be here in God's house, the opportunity, the open door that's afforded to us. We can come freely without fear and come to your house and worship our God in spirit and in truth. I thank you for the protection, for the shield you have about us. I thank you for the Spirit of God that indwells us, that guides us into all truth, that leads us in paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. I thank you tonight, Lord, for your power, your mercy that you display in saving sinners and keeping those that you deliver. I pray you'd have mercy on us tonight. May your divine presence, Lord, fill this place. May the blessings of God abound upon those that are here, those that are away as well. The sick, Lord, especially, I pray you'd touch them. Brother Andy, Brother Mike, and others, I pray for them especially tonight, that you'd have your divine will and way in their life. Do great things for us now, saving sinners. Do revive us again, Lord. Even as Brother Steve said this morning, if it costs us a great deal to upchuck things that we, Lord, wouldn't feel comfortable in doing, although we realize that revival will only come through the confession of sin and being right with thee and one another. So bless us, I pray, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Now this morning, in the morning hour, we looked at the psalmist, and it doesn't say it's a psalm of David, although I lean in that direction that it probably was written by David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And we looked in this psalm at the psalmist's hope that he had in the Lord. As the Bible said, he lift up his eyes to the one that dwelleth in the heavens. And certainly there is hope is found there, hope and expectation that God will not only hear, but God will provide him with the blessings that he needs and the help that he needs in this hour. His hope was steadfast. He wasn't double-minded. He wasn't moved with every wind of doctrine. He wasn't tossed about with the wind and the waves of troubles and trials. He stood fast in opposition, and his adversaries attack him, he still stood fast in the faith and had hope in God to deliver him. Brother Steve taught in Sunday school this morning, I saw great hope in David's life of the hand of God doing something for him and therefore relieving him of having to take care of business himself. He just let the Lord divinely intervene, and God did, and God handled the situation, and God will handle our situations today as well as he did David's. And so he had great hope in the Lord. But tonight, you know, the Lord being my help, I want to look for just a little while at this psalmist, and I want to try to attempt to examine the heart just a little bit and look in these verses and see what they tell us about the heart of this psalmist. I do see some thoughts, I think, that would give us some indication of his inward emotions and also the operations of the Holy Spirit as they worked within him. And by the way, the Spirit of God had to be working in the psalmist to give him the grace and the faith to look up into the heavens with great hope and expectation, believing that the Lord would deliver him or help him. And so the Spirit of grace and the virtue of grace is very active in the psalmist's life. And then also those what I call his emotions. And I'm not talking about he's emotionally having problems. I'm just talking about those emotions of life that we all go through, and God is helping him with these. I want to say, first of all, and this is an introduction, I see him as his heart as seeking the Lord. I see the psalmist as one that is seeking the Lord. He said in verse 1, "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heaven." And so there's no question about it that the psalmist is seeking the Lord. And you know, we'd all be very wise to do the same thing, to seek our great God for His power, for His mercy, for His blessings, for His help. We've got couples in here tonight that ought to seek God for divine help in raising your family. We've got couples in here tonight that ought to seek God's help for the troubles that you have in your family. And there's many things. I mean, we need to seek God for His power, seek the Lord for His blessings upon us, seeking for the mercy, as the psalmist was here three times. He sought God and asked for Him to have mercy upon him. And God would certainly do that. But you know, we all ought to seek the Lord. I'm reminded of Psalm 61 and verse number 1, where David said, "O God, Thou art my God." Now, I like that. Not somebody else's God, but David said, "You're my God." Aren't you thankful tonight that we all own a portion in the Lord? He does own us. He's purchased us with His own blood. But each and every one of us that are the children of God, we own a portion in the Lord. He's ours. I'm glad I can say tonight that He is my God. David said He was his God. You can say, if you're saved, that He is my God. And I'm glad that He is my God. "O God, Thou art my God." And then he made this statement, "Early will I seek Thee." Now, there's some different factors in view on that. Some say that is seeking the Lord early in life. And I can honestly say to you young people who are in here tonight, that'd be a good admonition for you. That'd be some good instruction for our young people to seek the Lord while you're young, early in your life. I believe it's in Ecclesiastes where it talks about seeking our Creator in the days of our youth. And we certainly ought to do that. Seek God while you're young. David found God as a young man. I mean, just a young man. He was out tending to his father's sheep and went off into battle. Didn't know he was going into battle, but I think maybe he might have knew in the back of his mind or in his heart that giant was out there. And when he got there, David took care of business just being a young man. Daniel was just a young man when he took a stand against the king and dining on a portion of the king's meat. He wanted to eat those things that belong to the Hebrews, and he did. And if you and I will dine on spiritual matters and spiritual meat rather than dining on the things of this world and this life, I'll guarantee we'll fare a lot better also. But he said he will seek the God early. Now, he might seek Him early, you know, in his life, but also we ought to seek God early in the morning. Tell Brother Hyde, I was getting ready to go to see the doctor last week, and I got here, Brother Gray drove me down. I got over here, and he was talking to Brother Hyde. And Brother Gray said, "Brother Hall's here," and of course he wanted to talk to me for a minute. And he said, I think it was about, I don't know, about 7 o'clock or a few minutes before 7, something like that. He said, "Well, you're up kind of early today, ain't you, brother?" I said, "Brother Hyde, if the truth was known," I said, "there's not many days goes by that Brother Hall's not up at 4 o'clock, sometimes 5, sometimes 6. Sometimes I do sleep till 7 o'clock. But for the most part, like this morning, I was up at 4 o'clock. And I just wake up. When I wake up, I can't go to sleep, so I get up. There's no need to land there tossing and turning on your bed. He said he giveth his beloved sleep. And there are those that toss and turn on the bed and can't find any rest. And I'm not going to be caught in that crowd. If I wake up and can't go to sleep, I'm going to get up and get my coffee ready and try to get into the reading of the Word of God. So we can seek God early in the morning. We're fresh early in the morning. Our minds are thinking early in the morning. It's a great time to do our best to find the Lord for that day now in our life. It's good to look down the road for things and seek God for things down the road. But I'm telling you, we need to seek God every day for that day and the things that are going to develop in our life in that day. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, there may be a tragedy come your way. You might lose your job and have to go to work at Walmart. Amen. Brother Rick, I remember when Brother Rick went to work at Walmart. Lord help. I really thought he was going to die from grief. I really did. But I'm glad he made it through it, amen. But you never know what awaits you in the next day. Sickness may come. Tragedy may come. Heartbreak may come. You never know what's going to happen. We need to seek God for that day when we get up that day. Seek God's face for that day and early in life. Then he goes on to say, makes this statement. He said, my soul thirsteth for thee. I wonder if we really do thirst after God. I wonder if we're so thirsty that we go to God like we would go and get a drink of water. I'd say some of y'all, I don't know how you hold all the water you drink. My wife carries one of them water jugs about that tall with a little round sipper thing on the end of it. And I mean, she sucks them things, buddy, like they're going out of style. And Brother Gray, I'd say he probably drinks 10 gallons a day and sweats it right back out. And I'm not being facetious. He drinks a lot of water. Why? Because he's thirsty, and he wants that water. But I'm going to tell you what we need to get thirsty for. We need to get thirsty for God.
That's right.
It's one thing to get thirsty for drinking water, but oh, if we'd ever get thirsty for living water.
Amen.
I'm going to say, the drink of this well water that we drink on this earth, we're going to thirst again like that woman in chapter number 4, John. But the water that he has to drink, we can drink it and we'll never thirst again. Now, I'm telling you, that's the water we need to thirst after. A well of springing water. Oh, how wonderful, refreshing it really is to get a drink out of that well of living water that belongs unto the Lord. And I wonder if we thirst after Him. Now, here's something that really got me in this psalm. David goes on to say, not only does his soul thirst after God, but he said, my flesh longeth for thee. Now, when he said flesh, he's literally talking about this flesh. In other words, I believe what David is saying here is, I'm longing for the day when this flesh will not be flesh as we know it today, but it'll be glorified flesh. I am longing, my flesh longeth for thee. I'm longing for that day. Hey, you're not going to see him in this flesh, ladies and gentlemen. You're not going to heaven in this body that you're in right now. I got news for you.
That's right.
Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But I'm telling you what, there's a new body that awaits us. Amen. And that's the body that we're going to transport out of this place into the presence of Almighty God. So he said, my flesh longeth for thee. Where at? In a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. I marvel at that. This man is thirsting after God in a land where there's no God, seemingly, if I can put it that way. And I'm telling you, my friend, if we're not living there today, I don't know where we are living. If you can take me to many places in America today where God's working, I'm going to tell you what, I'll say amen to it and thank God for it. But I don't see God really working in a wonderful way many places that I go. And I don't go places like I used to. I don't travel as much as I used to camp meetings and one thing and another. But I'm just simply telling you, I can tell by the Spirit that I see where I go, that the Spirit of God is not working much in our churches, in our land, across America anymore. I don't know where they're talking about revival. We have these guys calling us all the time from the Philippines, and they're wanting to come here and present their ministry for the Philippines. Most of them are Filipino nationals that come here looking for money that they can go back and live luxuriously on in the Philippines. You can say amen or oh me, I know what I'm talking about. I've been around some of that crowd. But I'm just telling you that this old flesh longeth for that day in the thirsty land where there is no water, where there is no God. Could we say that today? That although there's not God here, how many of you would jump up right now and testify and say, boy, when I come in here, goosebumps run up and down my back. I know God was in this place, son, because the hair raised up on the back of my head. That ain't the way you tell whether God's in a place or not. God, if God's in a place, I'm going to tell you how one thing you can tell is Holy Ghost conviction. There will be conviction that will drive sinners to a place of repentance in search of old time salvation. And there will be conviction that will drive the saints to an altar that they might pour out their soul before God and get right with Almighty God. If God's working in, if God's in a place, there'll be love in there because God is love. If God's in a place, there'll be peace there, for He is our peace.
Right.
Hey, come on in the house now. If that's right. If God's there, there'll be joy, because joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit, you know. Long suffering, gentleness, goodness.
Right.
If God's here in a place, there'll be faith. That's another one of the fruit of the Spirit. I'm just simply saying, I don't see God working too much anywhere. And the problem is, He's not around and we're not hungry for Him. He's not around and we're not thirsty for Him. Oh, how we ought to thirst and hunger after the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, Charles Spurgeon said, if you don't have Him around in power and presence, the next best thing is to be seeking Him for that. So I wonder if we're really seeking the Lord for His power and presence at Island Ford Baptist Church. Are we thirsty enough and hungry enough to seek Him for that? If we're not, I hope we get that way. I'll admit to you, I'm not that thirsty. I'm not that hungry. Now, if you got the guts to do it, you stand up and tell.
Amen.
We might have revival if everybody had that kind of a gut on them. Amen.
Amen.
Just to stand up and tell the truth about things. Quit trying to cover it up and hide it and pretend. That's our problem. Pretense. We just pretend all the time. We just pretend we got something when we know down in our heart that God's not hanging around anymore.
Amen.
Need to get right about that. Amen. I need to go on before it makes my man. He said, where no water is, He said, to see Thy power and Thy glory so as I have seen it in the sanctuary. It's not in the sanctuary now, He says, but I've seen it that way. He said, I'm thirsting and hungering after God because I want to see Your power again. And I want to see Your glory again as I have seen it in the sanctuary. Wouldn't it be a marvelous thing to see that? I mean, the power and the glory of God settling on this place. Woo! Like a fog. I mean, get thick in here. Get so thick, man, I have to have a seeing eye dog. Get out of this place. I told them fellas out in the office a while ago, they were talking about going to the doctor. I said, I'm telling you, since 1994, I've been to the doctor down in Nashville, Tennessee, so many times in that hospital. I'll guarantee you could bring me in any door, any entrance into that hospital. Blindfold me with a blindfold, give me a white walking stick, tell me where I'm at and what direction I'm pointed in, and I could find my place in any place I wanted to go on all four floors. Now, not the basement. I'm not that acquainted with the basement. But 1, 2, 3, and 4, I'll guarantee you, you tell me what direction I'm in, I can go around them hallways and come right back to where I'm at. I've been there so many times. I've been there. I could do it. But what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying we need to get it thick in here, so thick that we can't see that way.
Right.
Amen. We have to have a little help getting out of here. Somebody said, Brother Hall, it don't get like that. I hate to tell you this, but when the temple was dedicated by Solomon, the glory of God was so real and so thick there that it drove the priests out of that temple. They could not even minister unto the Lord in there.
Amen.
It's like I've heard old Brother Brown say a number of times, boy, it got thick. You know what he'd say? I got to get out of here. I can't take his no more. What was he saying, boy? God's thick in this place.
Yes,
it's so thick I can't. Somebody said, Brother Holden, does it really get like that? I'm telling you, God's got on me before, and I'm not bragging or boasting. I'm telling you, God's got on me in a way before, and I thought if He didn't turn me loose, I'd die right there on the spot.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's for real. Somebody said, you're making up to me. Oh, no, I wouldn't stand in this pulpit and lie for nothing.
Right.
I have actually thought that if God didn't let me alone, I was going to die. I mean, when some guy shouts, some runs, I laugh. When you see me laughing, son, it's on in me. It just is. It gets on in me. I got to a little bit of that down at that meeting the other night. You guys, Brother Groy, I couldn't help it. I can't help it.
Amen.
That's your old problem. You don't know how to get to I can't help. You know why you can't get to I can't help? It's because you don't want it. You don't want to I can't help. Because you want to help yourself. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 119, verse 10, the psalmist said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Not part of my heart, my whole heart. And so help me, I look for that verse where it says, you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart, your whole heart. I couldn't find it. My mind would not come to me where that verse of Scripture was at. I was going, but we're not going to find God until we seek Him with our whole heart. You cannot find God half-heartedly. See, David knew that in this psalm. He said, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. David knew that. He wasn't half-heartedly praying to the Lord. He was putting his whole heart into things. I'm going to tell you, we need to put our whole heart into the service, the song service, preaching service, worship service, fellowship. Come to the house of God and put it all that we got into it. Amen. Isaiah 55, 6, Isaiah said, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. It may come a day when He may not be found. So you better seek the Lord while He's found. Then not only do I see Him seeking the Lord, but I see Him here, He's searching His own heart. David is searching out. He had to be searching out His own heart when He said, behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress. So our eyes wait upon the Lord, our God, until that He have mercy upon us. He had to be searching His own heart to make statements like that. I wonder when the last time was that we really examined ourselves and searched out our own heart. Here's what the psalmist said in Psalm 139 and verse number 23 and 24. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Now, can you get hold of that? He wasn't afraid for God to know what was in his heart. Neither was he afraid to know for God to know what he was thinking. Oh, my. I'm going to be honest with you. There's been some times in my life I've been saying some things I certainly didn't want. When I stopped and realized I didn't want y'all to know. But I'm telling you, you can't hide it. He knows our thoughts.
That's right.
He'll not intrude upon us unless we invite him. If we invite him to know them thoughts, then he'll make improvement on them. But I'm going to tell you what our problem. We really entertain the thought that we can hide our thoughts from God. God can't see my mind. He don't know what I'm thinking. Oh, yes, he does. In fact, he knows those thoughts are far off. I believe he knew what you were thinking right now before you were ever born. Now, I believe before he ever created the world, he knew what you're thinking right now. Don't minimize God. Don't you put God in your little shoebox, matchbox. He won't fit in it. From before there ever was a beginning to there be, in the ages to roll on, God has known it all. Ever thought, can you get that? I'm talking about the billions of people that are upon the earth. God knows the thoughts that's running through the mind of every one of them right now. What a God. That'd make a man... Woo! That'd make a man want to jump through a double backflip. We're not serving some little old gray-haired man. I'm talking about a capital G, capital O, and capital D. God, ladies and gentlemen. The God of glory. The God that dwelleth in the heavens. The God that is enthroned with all the glorious majesty that there is that can be given unto His wonderful name. That's the God I'm talking about. He that created the heavens and the earth. That's who I'm talking about. Now I want to say this. And He said, know my heart and try me, know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in a way everlasting. Psalm 77, verse 6, He said, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my whole heart and my spirit made a diligent search. Commune with his whole heart. Said, I talk to my heart. When was the last time you talked to yours, David? And I'm hurrying now. I promise you I was going to be short. I am to another point and we're five, four little points and we're done. He had a satisfied soul. His soul was satisfied. He wasn't interested in the world. He was satisfied with the Lord. Satisfied with what God was doing in his life. Most people are so jealous that they're not satisfied with what God is doing in their life. They want to see God do in their life what he's doing in somebody else's life. But God's going to do in your life what he wants to do in your life. It's kind of like Peter and John. There in the Gospel of John, when the Lord led Peter down there and told him how he was asking three times if he loved him. And John, and Peter happened to look and see John. And Peter said, what about this man? He said, hey. He said, what is it to you that if he's alive when I come, what is it to you? Mind your own business, in other words. Mind your own business. Be satisfied, Peter, with what I'm doing in your life.
Yes,
and let John be satisfied with what I'm doing in John's life. Don't you try to handle somebody else's life. And I'm just being honest with you. Some of you in here that better back off of some people. Amen. That's right. You cannot drive the people of God. They've got to be led. And I'm telling you, when you bow up and want to drive them, sir, ma'am, you're going to find they're going to bow up. They're not going to be driven. You don't drive sheep. You lead sheep. I'm finding that out after too long, I'm afraid. Maybe some of you in here will learn that sooner. You won't have to go through some of the heartaches that I have from trying to lay the lash on people and make them do what you want them to do. I can't make you do what I want you to do. If you do what I want you to do, you'll mess up. I want you to do what the Lord wants you to do. Amen. That's right. Now, I'm going to pass that little psalm up. And I want to mention four things about his heart, and I'll be done. I want to say, number one, it was a believing heart. Infidelity will never carry us above the earth. But I'm telling you, faith will. His mind had already left this world and had settled in on the world above when he said, unto thee lift I up mine eyes, to the one that dwelleth in the heavens. And I'm just telling you, he had faith. He had a believing heart. He had a believing heart. It had already elevated him into the heavenlies in spirit. And I'm going to tell you something. Don't you worry about getting too far out with God. You're not going to get too far. You're not going to get too spiritual. The Lord knows how to see to that. He knows how to knock the props out from under us. He knows how to correct us and take care of us. His faith had led him in a deep search for God. That's right. And I'm going to tell you, you can't search for God, can't seek God, and yet be earthly minded. I don't know a better term to use. But somehow we're going to have to cut the cords of the world from us. And the possessions and the things of this life, we're going to have to sever them from us. This psalmist, the world was behind me. We sang that old song. The world behind me and the cross before me. I wonder if we really mean that. May I say the psalmist meant that. The world was behind him. The cross was before him. You know, I think it was the Assyrian captivity, I believe. I might be wrong. But I believe it was a northern tribe. It was Samaria and Samaria. It was Israel, one of the tribes they called Israel in the Samaria. They went to Assyria looking toward Egypt. That's all they had on their mind was, let's go back to Egypt. We had flesh pots down there. And all the time God tell them, you're going to Assyria. And you're worried about going back to Egypt. I'm going to tell you, we better get our mind where it needs to be. We don't need to be back in Egypt. And we don't need to be in Assyria either. We need to have our mind focused on heaven. Then not only was his heart a believing heart, but it was an obedient heart. A man who lifts up his eyes to God, he's acknowledging that he is the Lord's servant. Ain't that what it says in verse 2? Behold, as the eyes of the servants look into the hand of their masters, and the eyes of the maiden under the hand of their mistress. I'm saying when he looked up to the Lord, he said that and sought the Lord. He is admitting, acknowledging the fact that he's God's servant. He made that statement. I'm, in other words, he said, "Lord, I'm your servant." When he talked about servant, he said, "I'm your servant.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking up as a servant of God." Somebody said, "Well, that's for preachers." No, that's for everybody.
Right.
If you're saved tonight, you're a servant of the Lord. When God delivered Israel out of the Egyptian bondage, as Moses said, let God's people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. They, not just Moses and Aaron, that they may serve me in the wilderness. When they got out there, they found they all had a load to do, buddy. Around that tabernacle, they all, when they got it erected, they all had a job. I won't say that he had a thankful heart as well. He acknowledges that every blessing and every gift is from God. When he looked up, he's not looking out. He's not looking down. He's looking up. And we look up, somebody said, "Now, preacher, you got a verse for that?" Well, sure. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift does what? Cometh down from the Father of lights, down, in whom is no variableness and neither shadow of turning. So when he looked up, he was acknowledging the fact that every good gift comes from God.
That's right.
And he had done set his affection on those things up there, Miss Hall. Hey. So he had a believing heart, had an obedient heart, had a thankful heart. Then I want to say in closing, he had a heavenly heart. He that lifts up his eyes to heaven acknowledges that he's weary of this earth. His heart is not here. His hope and desire is above. My hope's not here, folks. My desire's not here. You can bank on that. I'm weary. I'm tired. I'm ready to go home when he's ready for me. Unless you've walked down some paths and seen and experienced a heartache and hurt, I have no idea what I'm talking about right now, but I'm telling you, I'm weary of troubles and I'm weary of heartache and I'm weary of feuds and fussings, debates and backbitings. And I'm tired. And by the way, my heart has already left here. My heart is not in this world. My heart is already home.